Greetings in the name of Jesus. So for those of you who know me, I'm Pastor Myron. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Myron. Same guy, right? Right. In any event, it is great to be in the house of the Lord with the people of God this morning. Praise God. Awesome Sunday. And it's great to be with the people of the Lord. And we want to just thank for the worship team for leading us into the Lord's presence. Let's acknowledge the Lord's presence and let's get in the flow of what he's doing in our lives. Let's pray. Living God, you're here because you're faithful, you're kind, you're just, you're true. You are faithful to your people. And we thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit because of the saving work of Jesus Christ in hearts, in households, in families, Lord. We thank you that you sent Christ into this world to establish his kingdom by his cross, by his resurrection. And we bless your name that because of that, you dwell inside and with your people. You are here. In the name of Jesus, Lord, catch us up in the flow of praise of you. Catch us up in the flow, Lord, of how you're at work in our hearts, in our families, in our households, in our church. Catch us up, Lord, in the flow of how you're at work in our world, Lord, to cause us to be light in the midst of a dark place. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, catch us up in the flow of the Holy Spirit and help us to praise you in the ways, Lord, that you are worthy of. Amen. Right, so special time today. This is actually in what we call annual meeting, right? And usually the way in a lot of churches your business meeting or your annual meeting goes is it's a time to get together and to celebrate what the Lord is doing, what the Lord has done in the previous year, and to set up what the Lord is going to be doing for the upcoming year, or for us, the rest of this year. And usually that meeting happens after worship. So usually the church gets together, has their Sunday worship, and then later on they have what they call their business meeting, their annual meeting, or any other way that churches choose to phrase this. And what we chose to do this Sunday, and hopefully for the foreseeable future, is to actually place our annual meeting right in the middle of worship, because we want to make it time we can worship God and praise God and acknowledge him. During this time, we won't cover every single thing that Journey does. It won't be every single thing. There's going to be a mailer that'll go out that'll get a bit more fine-tuned in terms of what the Lord has done, and there'll be some more material like that in case you're wondering, hey, what's the Lord up to here? What's the Lord up to there? Where you can look at that with, like, go through it with a fine-tooth comb. We wanted to hit some major highlights during this time so we could praise the Lord and worship. So we wanted to make it a part of worship. And then later on, we will have a vote on leaders. That'll be after our time today, so be looking forward to that. But we wanted to take this time out to just reformat worship so we could just turn it to a time we could praise the Lord. Because as a church, in the United States of America, it is a place where, we could feel discouraged a lot for a lot of different reasons. There's a lot of ways we could look at the news and get discouraged. We could just get discouraged about the church itself. But this is a time we need to be encouraged about what the Lord is doing in our neck of the woods and how he's at work. So we want to do this during worship. But in any event, so to start out our time, we wanted to focus on what I'm calling next generation ministry and now generation ministry. So what's next generation? Well, next generation, usually pretty easy to understand. It's what's happening among our kids and our youth. And Aaron's going to come up and explain what's going on with kids. Todd will, of course, be explaining what's happening with youth. And afterwards, I'll come up and give a now generation update. Now generation is the rest of y'all, right? All y'all, people like me who got the gray hairs coming in because I got four from the next generation in my life, right? And I got about 50 gray hairs for each one of them, okay? So I'm part of the now generation, and I get my gray hairs because I take care of, and I do the care and feeding for the next generation in my house, right? Like a lot of y'all, parents, grandparents, aunties and uncles, you do that as well. So I'll come up afterwards and give a brief update on now generation. But here, Aaron Cox is going to come up and give us just a snapshot. Yeah, woo-hoo! So Aaron is a more recent hire here at Journey, but she's been at Journey for forever, longer than me. And she and her husband, Cameron, have served here in a number of capacities. And now she got hired on just about a year ago to be our kids ministry coordinator. So Aaron, take it away.
Hello? Okay. I hate being up front. I love working with the kids and doing our lessons, but this is nerve-wracking. So kudos to Myron and the worship team for doing this every week. Okay, so a highlight, we completed the Bible in a Year curriculum, and right now, and it was really fun. And right now we're doing what we call Foundations of Faith. It's through the same company, and it's been really fun. Every week it's wild and crazy, but a lot of learning involved. I would love to say thank you to all of our volunteers. We have a lot of like youth that are helping every week. We have almost every family that attends that have kids are also helping, which I think speaks highly of our congregation. And we are growing. We have two new babies that have joined us, which is so exciting. Yay. But that means we need more help. We would love to like expand our classrooms, but that means we need like 4 to 6 new folks to join the team so we can make that happen. So come see me if you would love to think about volunteering.
Thanks, Erin. So I'm the youth person. I'm Todd. Hi. We have had a really good last 12 months for the youth program. It's been continuing to grow. We've had roughly 50 youth attend some of our events over the past 12 months. Those aren't the regular attenders all the time, but we've even had some younger tag-along siblings come in, and it's just been a great opportunity to try to speak people into the program, and we get to talk with parents at some of our events, and some of these people don't go to church at all. It's been a great opportunity. In the last year, we had one youth accept Christ, and this person hasn't been baptized yet, but we are hoping that we get to be part of that process. We did have 9 youths in the program choose to be baptized in this last year. 7 of them were right here, and 2 of them were in other churches because their families are associated with other churches. And one of those kids, their parents aren't even Christians. And we had some interesting conversations after that choice was made, where each of them individually came up and asked, "What's going on with my kid?" And so it's really exciting. We have a lot of ideas for expansion of the programs. Right now, we're pretty well set for things that attract middle school boys. We've been using sports over the last year to do that. And yesterday, our basketball team, which has 7 kids from the youth group on it, 7 of the 12, we just pulled into a first place tie by beating an undefeated team yesterday in a nail biter. And so we're pretty good with the middle school boys side of things, but we've had someone come up and offer to start a middle school girls Bible study if we can find some people to help with that. And Kaisa has been teamed up with me here over this last 2 years, and we're both pretty tapped out as to what we can give. So if something like a middle school girls Bible study appeals to you, come talk to me. We're also going to be looking to start, we hope, eventually, a high school program, something where high school kids can just come in with some kind of frequency. It doesn't even have to be every week, but we need bodies. We need people who feel called to work with youth. And over the summer, we had a big program last summer, tons of activities. We're planning to do something similar this summer, including a camp that's going to happen the last week of June. It's going on. We're running it ourselves. We're going to a campground on Mount St. Helens, right next to the Ape Caves, and we're going to be able to keep the cost way down. But because we're running it ourselves, we need help with food. So if anybody wants to come along and be a cook, we'd love to talk to you. So. Again, lots of great things happening. Love it if some more people came on board and helped us to grow. That's it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to say it's been really cool that with Todd and Erin on board, we really have grown in our next generation ministries pretty quickly. So it's like, you want hand of God to confirm, hey, you made the right move with leadership You know, you can't ask for more. So praise the Lord for what they're doing. And also, so now generation update, which is, you know, you older kiddos, including myself. I wanted to just give a snapshot and figured, you know, how do you do that? How do you talk, give a snapshot of what's happening with adults in the church? Well, a good way to do that is through small groups. Journey has a great small group culture, which precedes me. So kudos to everybody who was in on the, from the ground up a long time before I showed up, getting that going. That, and that's something that we've been able to really lean into. I was crunching the numbers because I know all small group leaders and everything. There's a small group that meets in my place as well. And if the numbers are right, and I think they are, Journey, a church our size, has about 68 people involved in small groups on a weekly basis. That is a huge number for a church our size. And so kudos to all the small group leaders who are like, you guys, y'all are amazing. These are folks who on a regular basis, you know, give up a lot of time. And they give up their talent and resources, and they get really creative. During COVID, you know, people kept going with small groups, and even through Zoom, and getting creative about how they were going to do that, even when we were still in social distancing mode. Folks kept that up, and it was actually our small groups who were some of the first to say, hey, we really, really want to get going and come back when we begin to get our minds around COVID. So small groups have kind of been at the leading edge of our ministries. And if you're in a Journey small group, you may say, well, what happens in a Journey small group? What are we about? Well, Gordy Anderson, who's also a small group leader himself, and he was our small group coordinator as of a few years ago, Gordy came up with Gordy and I were working on this a few years ago, trying to figure out what's the basic components of a Journey small group. Well, it's this. It's Journey small groups, we engage with the scriptures because we want to be saturated in the Word of God, right? We pray. We pray for each other. We pray for the church. We really lift up concerns, and we've seen God answer prayer. So it's not just that we're tossing them up, you know, to the Lord, just hoping, please, you know, God, maybe you'll answer. We've seen God answer prayer, right? God answers prayers of his people. Then also, we maintain regular fellowship between members. We hold to clear objectives. And those are things that are happening within Journey small groups, and it's been really spectacular to see, you know, people really being transformed in Christ because of those things. Two that we are still, that we're kind of slowly growing into, two new ones that we added was this, is that the last two is reach our neighbors and then help each other grow in Christ. Each small group, like a lot of small groups in a lot of churches, you know, you tend to meet in a centralized location. And what we want to do is establish a means by which we can reach people who don't know the Lord yet. You know, and usually this is on the neighborhood level. And to do that, you know, to the best of our ability. That may not work out quite neatly for every small group, because some small groups have kind of a modified way in terms of how they meet. That's fine. But for those of us who do meet in a centralized place with a neighborhood that's near, we want to see explore ways that we can consistently reach our neighbors for Christ. I know in our neighborhood, you know, I could say that there are households in our neighborhood that we're reaching for the gospel and people who we've got to talk to about Jesus, right? And there's people who we're kind of built friendships with that are on the way to that. And so I think that's something that we can cultivate, because really, if a lot of evangelism is a team effort. It's not just like one-to-one. It really, when you look at scripture, you see evangelism more as a team effort. And what better environment to share the gospel with people than a small group environment and to welcome them into the kingdom. And then also to help each other grow in Christ, to really develop ways that we could take what we're learning in small groups and like hone that towards saying, hey, I'm out for you growing in Christ. You're out for me growing in Christ. How can we really be intentional about that? There are small groups already doing that. The women's small group that meets midweek, you guys are amazing. I know what's happening with you all, and wowie zowie, great work. And so I know that, that last bit is something that the women's small group that meets in the midweek here at Journey does very well, so praise God. But we want to see if we could transmit that and continue and do that, have that be something that's a regular feature that we can reproduce in all small groups. So this is what happened. This is 68 people on a regular basis at our church who gather together, and this is something that typifies the kind of meeting that we have. So we praise the Lord for that. And just to close out this section, we want to have Kaisa Anderson come up and pray. And Kaisa, Kaisa has led a number of capacities at our church, and she's on our leadership board, actually. And Kaisa also was, when we were coming back from COVID, you know, our youth ministry had shut down, and then Joel and Becca, who were our youth ministry leaders, they'd moved on, and they live now in the Southwest. But Kaisa actually was the one who spearheaded our youth coming back. And she started up a young ladies Bible study. And so I thought it was appropriate that Kaisa should be the one to pray us through as we close out this section of our annual meeting. So Kaisa, you're up.
Okay, so this is Psalm 127, 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. And so, Lord, we come to you and just think about the youth and think about us as adults and really desire to have you build us. And thinking about the youth, God, we commit each of them to you. I thank you so much for the work that you are doing in each of their lives. And we know that the world is a tough place to be. And so I pray for the parents of the youth who attend here and who don't attend here, that you would give them wisdom about how to love their kids and invest in their kids. And pour truth into them that will protect them from the lies of the world and will give them the ability to stand strong and to love those around them. And I also pray for us as leaders that you would give us wisdom also about how to invest in the kids that come on Tuesday nights and the other activities that we have. God, we need you. We can't do it on our own strength or through our own human knowledge and ability. And God, I thank you so much for friendships and for fellowship, for families and adults. And also, again, just ask that you would be our leader, God, that we would seek you together, that I thank you for the ways that I have seen that when those of us and others have been in need, that families and individuals here have lifted people up in prayer, and that is one of the gifts of fellowship. So I thank you for that. We just ask for more depth this coming year, more answered prayer, and that your Holy Spirit would be our guide. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, let's pray. Living God, we do bless your holy name because you are the God of abundance. You are the God who gives us more than we need. You meet our needs in a multitude of ways, and we want to praise your name that you've done that in our lives, in our households, in our church, and we thank you because you're worthy, and we just lift you up, Lord. Help us to praise you right over your faithfulness, and we just ask you to please continue to sustain us in all areas of life as a church, as individuals, as households. Please continue to sustain us so that we could accomplish all of your pleasure in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, well, here at this time, we want to talk about abundance, and you see there that image of some wheat that's yet to be harvested, and this is abundance in terms of finances and leadership. It's interesting when you read the New Testament, and you see like some of the letters, and you read them, you get in the weeds, and all of the letters that we have from the apostles, especially from Paul, are pretty weighty theologically, but some of them, interestingly enough, like Romans, for instance, are fundraising letters. Romans is basically a fundraising letter with like gobs of theology put around it, right? It's a weird way to think of it like that, but that's actually a part of how it works. Philippians kind of works somewhat the same way as well, and so does it is a part of 1 Corinthians that works that way as well, because he's inviting God's people to be able to give to the mission. And of course, Paul was an apostle, a missionary, a church planner, and he maybe the most successful church planner and missionary that the church has ever seen, which is why he's usually the paradigm for that. And but yet he did it through people who, just like us, who were giving you their time, their talent, and their treasure because they love Jesus and because they love the mission. And so we as a church, you know, you all graciously give of your resources so that we as a church can continue to accomplish the ministry of Jesus Christ. So we want to invite Andrew Amrine up and to come up and to give us an update on, you know, finances from last year, but then also to paint the picture for this year. So Andrew, take it away.
First off, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Hey, I just want to say excited to be here, excited to share what God has done in 2022. It's been an amazing year. For those of you who are partners here, we've given you updates throughout the year. Our last one was in September, and I want to kind of bring everybody up to speed on where we're at. So first off, I want to give you where we ended the year in terms of general fund giving. This is money that you give that goes to help run the church. So from paying staff, paying for ministry materials, turning the lights on, heat on, that kind of thing. We ended the year at $257,470. So that is a huge praise because in September, we were running way behind schedule. And we brought that up and brought that to your attention. And through your faithfulness and your obedience to God, we closed the gap. So to give you an idea, in terms of where we were in terms of our goal, we were at 79% back in September, which is lagging way behind where we historically do. We ended the year at 89% of our goal. To close 10% in 4 months is absolutely incredible. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That is a huge praise. A couple of other things that I was looking at this. Yeah. A couple of other quick stats, because I'm a numbers guy, I like statistics. Just to give context in the broader church in the United States, a church of our size, where we average about 83 people on a Sunday, we're considered a mid-sized church post-pandemic. Let that sink in. We are a mid-sized church. I about fell out of my chair when I read that. That was amazing. So with that in mind, I want to share these couple stats with you. As partners and as regular attenders, 86.6% of those who regularly attend our church give. They've given at least one or more times this year. That is incredible. Thank you. Second, a couple more statistics to go along with this. Multiple givers, those who give more than twice throughout the course of 2022, 78% of those who gave more than once. So that is awesome. That is a huge participation rate. And as somebody who helps the board lead and look at our finances, that is incredible because it's not just one or two people or a small handful of people carrying the load. We're carrying it together. So thank you very much. One other thing I wanted to share that I thought was really cool is above and beyond just what you give to the general fund, we gave as a body of Christ, outside of that, our partners gave $10,862 to the Great Commission Fund to help get the gospel out both in the United States and abroad. So that is a huge, cool, I was looking at that, and that's a number I don't really look at. I look at the general fund. I was looking at this the other night when I was putting this together, and I thought, that is amazing. So awesome. That is a huge praise. On the expense side, this last year, as everybody experienced in their own life, expenses ran a little bit hotter than we had planned because of inflation. We also had an issue, and we've talked about this in the past, the salary error that occurred in prior years that we had to correct to make that right. So our expenses ran a little hot. So we ran $294,700. When we back out that salary error, our operating expenses were approximately $269,000. So we're running very close to what our giving was. And that's good because this last year, we planned on running a small deficit of about $12,000 because we lost Truth Bible Church, who was renting our building. So the roof repair that we had done, we were going to pay out of that rent income. Since they went away, we paid that out of pocket, and that was about $12,000 a year. So that is a huge praise because we ran darn close to what we had hoped to do in terms of our deficit. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. And I know the board does as well. So moving quickly here, we'll jump into just a quick highlight of where we're going in 2023. The board has spent months working on our budget. Right now, our giving goal is $284,600. We're going to continue to invest in the ministries that we've, so Next Gen Ministries, Now Ministries, We're continuing to pour into those. We're continuing to, the board is going to be watching expenses very carefully. We've developed a series of flags that we are going to be looking at to make sure that we can keep our giving in line with expenses after last year. So we've developed a process around that, and we're going to be executing that. And then just one last thing, we don't have a whole lot of detail about the budget, but we will be sending out a detailed budget to partners and things like that in the next coming weeks. So again, I just want to say thank you, huge praise, and just say thank you again. And that's awesome how God has worked through you so that we can do the work that he's called us to do here in our neighborhood. So thank you.
Cool, and something else you need, Andrew is our finance deacon, a lot of you know that, but and he's kind of the forever deacon. So if you wonder, like, why don't we vote on Andrew yearly or every 3 years, and I'm kind of like, do you really want to do that? I don't. Andrew loves Jesus, and he's really good with numbers and everything like that. He works in the banking industry, so he leads in a very special way. We get top-notch financial advice and wisdom, and he does that on a volunteer basis. So just praise the Lord for that ministry that he's got for us. Something else with respect to leadership, I always want to keep this at the front at least once a year. To give you a sense of what in the world, you know, what do we do, right? I mean, how is our church structured? You know, what do we do, that kind of thing? Because you could wonder that about any church is behind the scenes, outside of Sunday mornings, how are decisions made? You know, when we put things to you and we say, you know, here's what we're putting before you, here's why, we explain it. But you could wonder, you know, how does this church work? Well, it for us, it's pretty simple. In churches of different sizes and kind of different denominational cultures tend to do things differently. But for us, we have four different levels of leadership in our church. We have elders, right? You can think about elders as people who kind of, I would say, represent the who. The who being Jesus Christ. Jesus is the over-shepherd. He is the supreme shepherd. We are all accountable to Christ Jesus as believers in Jesus Christ. Elders, we represent Christ as what's called in Scripture under shepherds. If you have that literal translation there, and which basically means we are under Christ. We are not Jesus. We don't pretend to be, but we are shepherds who are patterned after Him. And as elders of the church, we represent Christ, the Great Shepherd. We are at the forefront of basically keeping us in line with the who, with Jesus, and also taking care and shepherding the church with the spiritual needs. Then we have our leadership board. And a leadership board is basically protects the why, the kind of why we exist, which a few years ago we adopted as our why, as our mission as the church, that we are a neighborhood church. Journey Church Tacoma is a neighborhood church that seeks to connect people to one another, people to the church, and people to God. You know, we said we got a building now about 6 years ago, and that's been really cool. It's been a blessing, but God didn't just give us a building. God gave our church to our neighborhood. And so what we've been about over the past few years is really leaning into that, where our leadership board protects that why. Or it basically, everything that comes to us as a leadership board, we ask the question, are we being faithful to our why, right, as a church? And that includes being in line with our policies, you know, creating or amending policies as needed, making decisions that are in line with those policies, safeguarding our mission, right? Upholding our theology and our governing documents, that kind of thing. Leadership board does that. Next, we have our staff team. Staff team, if elders comes down to the who, and then if the leadership board comes down to protecting the why, then the staff team oversees the how, basically. Staff team is leaders, you know, staff who are boots on the ground, you know, and looks at, you know, what are our goals for the upcoming years? How are we going to accomplish our mission? You know, so when we put on like the, you know, Pearl Street Neighborhood Party, things like that, there's a lot of partnership between leadership board, staff team. Okay, you know, how are we going to accomplish our mission? Well, we want to put on a neighborhood party every year, and we want to get better at doing it year to year, right? That's the kind of thing that the staff team oversees the how, and also deploys volunteers and moves about kind of, you know, on the street level as a team, and oversees the how. Lastly, we have our volunteer team. Volunteer team is making it happen. And the vast majority of our church, at some level, in some capacity, volunteers, and praise God for all of you, because you're amazing. And basically, volunteers make it happen, right? Make it happen and really work to be the boots on the ground and putting everything in place in terms of how we're gonna make that happen. So elders represent the who, Our leadership board protects the why, staff team oversees the how, and the volunteer team puts boots on the ground, makes it happen. There's a lot of overlap between these teams, obviously. These aren't mutually exclusive categories. But I hope this gives you a general overview of what we're about as a church and how we're run. Because of our size and everything, we don't have, you know, tons of moving parts, and that's appropriate to who we are, right? But we take them seriously. You know, we pray into what we're doing. We pray into decisions. Even the vote that we have coming up after worship later today is something that we've asked you to pray into, and it's something that we really take very seriously. And so, but that's what the Lord is doing. And I wanted to highlight one leader in particular today, and that's Mark Scott. So Mark, if you want to come on up, that'd be great. A lot of you know Mark Scott. Mark is an elder here at Journey, and he's going to be transitioning off. Mark came on as an elder shortly after I got here, because I got here in 2018, and then we were in the midst of dealing with, there's a little bit of elder transition in terms of an addition that we need to make to our team. And it was pretty funny. Mark was on the nominating team at the time, where we were going to have to nominate a new elder. And as the nominating team was meeting and we were talking, everybody was saying, you know, Mark's on a nominating team, but he'd make a really good elder, right? And so the first thing we had to do to get Mark to be a leader is we had to kick him off of leadership, which is just hilarious. We had to basically kick him off of the nominating team, because obviously you can't nominate yourself. And so we had to kick him off the nominating team so he could become a candidate to be an elder. And that worked out spectacularly. Mark was obviously part of the elder team that had to shepherd during COVID, right? And also part of the leadership board that shepherded during COVID, because our elders are also on our leadership board. It was Mark and a lot of other elders as well during that time who helped us to shepherd God's people in a pretty difficult spot. Right, and we were really trying to discern, you know, what do we do? You know, what's real, what's not real, what's true, what's not true, and how do we respond? And Mark and our other elders on that team really shepherded during a pretty rough season. And praise the Lord for them, and praise the Lord for you for sticking with us as leaders in terms of how we did that. But Mark even stuck around for extra innings as an elder and gave us more of his time. So he went beyond his tenure, which we had an opportunity to vote into early last year, and so now he's going to be ending his extra innings tenure as well. But I thought it'd be appropriate to just give Mark a few minutes just to speak to the congregation, because we got a leader who has done so much and has been such a seminal part of what we're doing and has given us so much of his time, his talent, his resources. You know, and Allie as well. Thank you for your own service to our church, Allie Scott, but then also for lending us your husband, including when the pastor calls and says, hey, Mark, I got this thing. Can you help me out with it? Yeah, it's like in a few hours. So really appreciate that. But in any event, Mark, if you want to come up and say a few words, we really appreciate that. So Mark Scott.
Thank you, Myron, for the kind words. I made a mistake. I thought you said 35 minutes you wanted me to speak, but it's 3 to 5 minutes, so you all get a break. You know, being an elder is an interesting thing because, well, the Christian life is kind of like this. You have these victories, and then you have these valleys you go through and victories. And as an elder and a pastor, you end up seeing everybody's ups and downs, and so you can see a lot of the down things. But the advantage is that you get to see God answer a lot of people's issues. Because as an elder, you really, other than praying for them, I mean, you may be able to help figure out how to get a meal to them, but there isn't any way that you can answer some of the problems that we all experience. But what came to my mind was in Exodus, Moses is leading, he's already had trouble leading the group of Israelites through the desert. And the first thing they come to, the first battle they come to, is the Amalekites. And Amalekites are actually their blood relatives through Esau. but they are fierce and they don't follow God and they like to take things from people, so the Israelites are in trouble. So Moses says, you know, what we're going to do is I am going to pray over this battle. Well, okay, the battle is the full day, and Moses, when he lifts up his hands, the Israelites are winning, and then when he lowers them, they start losing. So the only thing that they could think of was, okay, or what they were told to do, I don't know how that happened, but a couple of young guys came alongside, that was Joshua and Hur, and they held Moses' arms up, and he prayed the whole day. And Israel won the battle over the Amalekites. In fact, the Amalekites aren't heard from that point on. But that's kind of what elders, I think, do, is they kind of come alongside the leader and they kind of help hold up the arms. And that may mean you go out and help pray with someone, or it may mean you got to go do this thing in 15 minutes that we didn't know we were going to do. But you know, God gives me a heart, or gave me a heart to love to do those things. And I, you know, because my own failings, I understand other people's failings. And you know what? We're all in this together. So I'd like to pray and just thank God for how he has provided for us. So let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we don't understand you sometimes. We think we do, but then we see answers that don't fit with our scenario. And Lord, we are just thankful that you are the God who is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And Jesus, we thank you for how you've provided above and beyond what our needs are, with finances and with people. And Lord, we just look to you and ask that you, we thank you for it, and we look to you to provide for our needs in this coming year. And Jesus, we just tell you that we love you, and we ask this in your name. Amen.
Saints, let's pray. Living God, we thank you for making this song a reality, that the pardon that we experience by the blood of Christ is real. And I pray, God, that for all of us who maybe are discouraged, or maybe are even discouraged with ourselves because of sin in our lives that we are battling with and struggling against, Lord, I pray that we would know that the reality of Christ's blood is true. It's true for the person who's already come to know you, and who wrestles with sin and who wants further liberation. It's true for the person who's not yet come to know you, Lord, and it needs to come to know you for the first time. The reality of Jesus' sacrifice for sins, Jesus' resurrection is real. Thank you, Lord, for sending him into the world to save us. And we pray, God, that you would give us the courage and the ingenuity to make that a reality for other people as well. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our last focus is on mission, and we are a people as believers in Christ, and we're a Bible-believing church who want to see the reality that we've experienced in Christ Jesus. We want to see that true for everybody, right? For people who do not yet know him. I praise the Lord for the local church. I know in about 30 years ago, I was a college student, utterly lost, and just in some significant darkness and apart from God. And it was because I basically wandered into the right church who loved Jesus and who loved me and who loved his word, and eventually came to know Christ in New Orleans. And I praise the Lord for that. And I want that for everybody, right? And I know you do too. And so we've been working as a church to better position ourselves to be in the Lord's hands, to make that happen in our city, but then also for our particular neck of the woods here in our neighborhood. And we have, part of our leadership is that we have deacons of mission and outreach, and our current deacons for mission and outreach, we have Cameron Cox, we have Michael Ortega, and then as an apprentice, we've had Jenna Armstrong recently. And Cameron is gonna come up and he's gonna give us a snapshot of what we were up to with respect to gospel ministry over this past year, and then we're going to have somebody who's actually going on the mission field very soon thereafter, and that'll be George Rhodes. So Cameron, take us there.
Oh, okay, there we go. Yeah, I'm Cameron Cox. I'm one of two missions deacons. Michael Ortega is the other one. And so I'm talking a little bit about missions today for just a couple minutes. But one of the things I wanted to mention is, like, missions is kind of the, a lot of times you think of it as the adventure side, right, of Christianity, like going off to a distant land or something like that. But I also want to encourage you, like, it's also right where we live, right? So think about, like, when Peter first met Jesus. Jesus is kind of using his boat to preach to people on the shoreline. And then after he's done with that, he tells Peter, hey, push out into the deep for a catch, right? And when you think about the pushing out into the deep, that right there is a reminder that there's some risk-taking in the Christian faith, that the Christian faith, God is calling us, each of us, to an adventure, right? But then Peter says, well, we were fishing all night. We didn't catch anything, you know. So Peter's tired. He's cranky. He probably just wants to go home, take a nap. But he says, but because you've asked, we'll do it, right? So he still obeys, a small act of obedience in a time when he's tired and weary. And he catches the biggest catch of his life. You know, the Bible tells us that the boats, there were so many that the nets were tearing, that the boats were starting to sink. And Peter's life would never be the same after that, right? So God can do a lot with small acts of obedience. And even though it is, life is tough. A lot of times we talk about how, oh, life is hard, it's tough, you know, being a Christian is tough. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trouble. So he's telling us, yeah, it's going to be tough. But I have overcome the world, right? He's overcome the world. So no matter what you're going through, there's joy in this life, too, as a Christian. And missions, you get to see some of that joy when you do engage in missions ministry. One of the things I wanted to, a couple things where you can get involved with missions here. Or actually, let me tell you first about a little about what we've done. So we've had a chili cook-off. How many of you went to the chili cook-off a couple months ago? Some of you, yeah. We had great food. It was a fun event. His dad won first prize, you know. Thank you for reminding us. So we have our chili cook-off. That was a way to reach out to our neighborhood, by the way. And another thing that we do on a regular basis is every summer we have a summer outreach, too. How many of you have been here when we had, like, the reptile man here and we were grilling out in the parking lot? Yeah, so those are opportunities to just bring your friends, right, or your family members. Something else that we do here is we have been supporting a missionary from that's part of the CMA, Christian Missionary Alliance, which our church is affiliated with. And, you know, that missionary and his family were in a country that is called a creative access, where you can't just openly preach the gospel, you know. So that's one of the things that we do. Also, Seeds of Hope. And by the way, thank you for all of you who've donated to make this ministry happen. This ministry has been going on for several years, but we have these little bags right in that corner over there under the map of the world that's on the wall. And these are just for any of you to just take a bag and keep it in your car. And when you run into somebody who's homeless or needy, you have something right away that you can give to them. So, and I've given several of these out, and you could just tell the gratefulness and the thankfulness that people have. And there is little gospel tracts in here, Gospel of John, that's in here. I think Don has supplied these. Thank you, Don. I think you're here somewhere, Don. But anyway, so they do get to hear the scriptures, but there's also socks and beanies and, you know, some food and stuff in there. So those are some of the things we do. And then coming up, Easter is coming up in a few months, right? Our next kind of big outreach thing that we're doing is Easter Sunday. Sorry, not Easter Sunday, Easter weekend, probably Saturday, the Saturday going into Easter. We're going to do an egg hunt, and we'd love to, if you're interested in wanting to get involved, we'd love to have you participate in that, volunteer to help out. We're looking for, this is kind of like a project, right? So if you're like, I want to kind of dip my toes in the volunteering thing, but I don't know if I can give the long-term commitment, hey, we just need your help up until this event. And then when this event is done, then you're good. So we could use your help if you're interested in that. And we would love for you to connect with myself or If you even let Pastor Myron know or Todd know that you're interested, they'll make sure that we all get connected and get you involved. So thanks.
We get George Rhodes up.
Woohoo!
Gonna need that. George, in a week, is going to be going to Uruguay on a missions trip. And George, so I first of all, I want you to tell us what you're going to be doing. But then there's a really cool story behind that. So tell us first, where you're going to Uruguay. And other than the fact that I kind of know where it is, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know anything about Uruguay. All right, and I got nothing. In fact, the other day I was like scrambling. I was like, wait, where precisely is Uruguay? I know it's a country. So, but in any event, George, you're going to Uruguay in about a week. What are you going to be doing?
Pardon?
What are you going to be doing?
Okay. So I'm going to be part of a team that's going to be building a parsonage. And they're also, and this team kind of grew a little bit, but so there's like 9 guys going down that'll be focused mainly on the progress of this parsonage. Hopefully when we leave, it's going to be at a point where the pastor can move into it. There was also a request from probably the pastor's wife and some of the ladies there of maybe a ministry team for the women. And so the team grew, and there's probably about 8 women going down there now. And part of that women's group, one of the ladies heads up Vista Ministries. So I'm going to put a little bit of plug in the back of the church, back by that map of the world. There's a box there from Vista Missions for donating glasses. And we take these all over the world, and we hold vision clinics. So they're actually going to have, on a very small scale, a vision clinic. But and whether it's just with the women, I don't know, but there'll be a ministry team of women working with the women down there in the church and ministering to the community.
Hey.
Yeah.
Great. And tell us I didn't know the backstory of the pastor. So if you're building a parsonage, so the pastor of a church can basically, he and his family can live in there. But tell us the backstory of this pastor and what's going on with him.
Some years ago, there was a young man who was a drug addict, and he supported his habits by stealing. And he knew that this building on Sundays had a lot of bikes around it, and he thought, I'm going to go there, steal some bikes so I can buy some drugs. So he goes there, and there was a gentleman that came out of the church while he was walking up to the church and started talking to him, and in the process invited him into the church. This young man goes into the church. He hears the gospel preached for the first time. He gives his life to Christ. He and his wife start attending that church, and I don't know what the year process was, but at some point, some years later, they were in need of a pastor at that church. The existing pastor had moved on, and the church asked him if he would be the pastor. Now, that tells you that in that time of walking up as a drug addict to the church to steal the bikes, and this point, this man not only accepted Christ, but became a leader in that church. So this man and his wife and 2 toddlers, probably around, I'm going to say 3 and 5, something like that, accepted to become the pastor of that church, and they didn't have any place to live, so they moved into a Sunday school classroom. That was 10 years ago. Okay, so that pastor and his wife now have two teenagers, a boy and a girl, in their teens, and a young son, probably about five or so, living. They took over two classrooms, but these are small classrooms. But anyway, for 10 years, they have been living in the Sunday school classrooms. And so the desire has been, of course, on the back of the church to build a, what will, the old term would be a parsonage. It'd be a home for the pastor. And so that got started maybe a year ago. They poured the slab for it, the concrete floor and foundation. And down there, as in many South American countries, then they put up a structural steel frame and they just put tin on the roof. And so our job will be to go finish enclosing that structure. It's probably the total building is about 27 by 27. So there's going to be three bedrooms in that square footage, a kitchen and a living room, and do the interior walls, do the plumbing, do the electrical, do the insulation, do the drywall, hang the doors, hang the windows. And that, you know, when our goal is, I'll be down there, I leave next Sunday. This time I'll be on my way to Charlotte, North Carolina, and then heading south. We come back on the 21st, and it is our desire and goal that when we return, they'll be able to move in. And I get emotional because for many years I thought I would never be able to be a missionary. From the time I was young, I thank my grandmother for this, for the time I was very young, mission has been a big part of my life, giving to missions and listening to missionaries and stuff like that. I came up kind of on the hard side. No education beyond high school. And I've been asked to go on a few mission trips years ago, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. I'm trying to raise a family. But finally, in 1997, I was working for a general contractor, and I asked, can I have some time off to go do this? And he said yes. And so that trip happened to be in Costa Rica, building a Christian school. But anyway, I went. And God showed me I had a talent that could be used. I don't go preach. I don't go do a lot of ministry, but I know how to use just about every construction idea there is to build any type of structure, because God gave me that experience, blessed me with all that experience, and bless me with an opportunity to go and help people out and to be a tool for him. I know I went a little bit more on sharing what the project was, but that's, you know, kind of explains why I get a little emotional about it. As I feel so blessed.
Amen. Praise Him. And that praise the Lord. Thank you for listening to the Lord. And then also, that pastor is a church planner.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, it's no problem.
Yeah. So, one of the, because of his past, They have a lot of ministry in a lot of the cities around there, and some of them quite a ways away from the Duranzo where we will be going. But they plant churches and they call them House of Peace. And there's a lot of street ministry involved in that. Uruguay is a very secular society. There's great need there, and so, but he is, his heart is to plant churches.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you. I want to pray for George. We are a church that gives to missions. We are a church that is on mission, and we are a church that sends as well. And, you know, we'd like to continue to do that and to increase that. But I think it's really appropriate to pray for George as he's going to be going. We're sending him. We are his church, and we are sending him in addition to this organization he's working with. But let's just pray for George right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Thank you for making space and showing George that you had a place for him on the mission field. Lord, thank you for enlarging his heart for the gospel being preached to all nations. Thank you for this gifting you've given him for construction and for pretty much being able to work with any tool and being able to make things and to fix things. Lord, we benefit from that here at this church as he's on our building team. Thank you, Lord, for George and for filling him with your Holy Spirit and for giving him a zeal for missions. We pray, God, for great success, that this building project is a success. We pray for this pastor and this church in Uruguay, that the outreaches they're doing, the houses of peace they're planting, will just explode and continue to explode. I know they're already planted churches. If they continue to have great success, that you'd give them the protection from the enemy, give George protection from Satan. And we pray, God, that this would result in more advance of your gospel. In the name of Jesus, Lord, it is an honor to have George in our church. It's an honor to send him. And Lord, I bless you for what you've done in his life. And I praise you, Lord, for this calling that you've placed on him. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for great success in Christ, great faithfulness in Christ, great fruitfulness in Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, George. Cool. So the last thing, just to kind of bring everything home, and I'm not going to go into everything I was going to have to say because George pretty much wrapped up anything that I was going to have to say. We're a church on mission, right? And our mission, you know, is in one sense, we want to get the gospel out to all people. We want to get the gospel out to our neighborhood, and we want to be able to send missionaries and to give to ongoing mission across the world. And so we are a church on mission. And part of that mission also, though, is, you know, once people come to know Christ, like a lot of us in here, what do we do with them? How do we grow them? And Colton, Ryan, you could switch to the very last blue slide, if you will. What do we do with them? You know, what do we do when people come to know Christ? You think about this young man who George just talked about. He came to know Christ from being a drug addict and was even going to steal from the church, and then went to becoming, you know, what had to have been a thriving member in the church and somebody who was recognized as a leader. And now he's not only the pastor, but he's a church planter. There's a lot that happens in between somebody coming to know Christ and somebody becoming a leader, somebody becoming a missionary, somebody becoming a church planter in Christ. There's a lot that happens in between. We are called to the in-between as well. And whatever this church did in discipling this man, praise God, God had his hand all over it, right? And this is also true for all of us as well, right? We're a church that ministers in the in-between and builds in-between. In-between coming to know Christ and then becoming leaders and becoming people who make a dent in our environment for the kingdom, we minister in the in-between. So it's one to give you a snapshot of what we're going to be doing as a church here for the upcoming year. And this isn't everything, but this is some of the things that I think we can responsibly say we will do as a church in order to basically to build God's people corporately and individually. We will build the right way. You know, God has a building project, and there's times in the New Testament where God describes his church as a building, as a temple, right? as a building, and we will build the right way. We'll build together. And I hope that what you got here today is a snapshot of how we do things together and how we strive to get better at doing ministry together, exploring God's calling, gifting on people's lives, and figuring out how to mobilize those things and mobilize people. Then also, we'll do it with the right purpose. We want to grow Christ's church. And not just grow numerically. The numerical numbers in growth has its own story to tell. That's not a bad thing. That's even noted in the New Testament when the church grew numerically. Numbers tell a story. We want to make sure it tells the right story. But they do tell a story. But it's not just about numbers, obviously. It's not just about growing wide. It's growing deep. We want to grow Christ Church. We want to grow all of you. You know, I strive to grow my family, you know, also in Christ, and to grow deep in Christ as well. And not just grow wide, but also grow deep. And part of that growing deep is having the right building materials, right? If I could keep on with this extended metaphor. Having the right building materials. A few things that we're going to commit to, or we are committing to for the rest of this year, is volunteer development. We are a volunteer-heavy church. Most of you have put in a significant time, talent, and treasure to be able to give time with our ministries here at Journey, and we thank you for that. And we want to move to volunteer development, not just, you know, hey, we need people, even though that's true, and you've heard some of those appeals today, but then also to develop our volunteer base to say, hey, but we also want to develop people into leadership and to really note the way the Lord is growing you and to partner with that and to grow people in volunteerism and to develop people. So moving from just, you know, needing volunteers to volunteer development. Also, a greater prayer focus, and I think actually you'll see some of that next week, so stay tuned. In terms of getting us to be, we are a people who praise, but to getting us more focused into praying together and to take, you know, a lot of the zeal for prayer, which definitely exists in our congregation in a lot of ways, and to say, hey, let's focus that and to get us intentionally and strategically praying together. Then also something even more practical is preacher training. Right now I got a few candidates, folks who you will see up here on Sunday morning who will be preaching. And so really developing more preachers and saying, hey, come on up and lead people in the Word of God. And there's a few candidates for that. And we're going to be developing that. So stay tuned. You will see it. So you see on Sunday, you're like, whoa, that's not Pastor Myron. It's like, yes, because the body of Christ is bigger than Pastor Myron. So we got to do that. And then also adult ed. We've done some adult education here before, but we want to get a consistent way that we can continue to do ongoing training in Christ for the body of Christ. But these are four things, and I'm not just saying this is all we're doing for 2023 or all we're doing for the foreseeable future, but these are some of the things that we can responsibly commit to as a church because we care about the in-between. You know, we care about people coming to know Jesus, but we also want to see people developed beyond that initial moment of conversion and developed into all that God has in store for them. So these are the things that we can commit to as a church responsibly. There'll be more, but these are four that, because of work that Elder Board and the Leadership Board has done, things that have been on the heart of our staff that I think we can responsibly put before you and things that we can realistically fulfill and have it not just be window dressing. But if you would, when you pray for us, pray into these specific items because we are people who need prayer and we run on prayer power because Jesus' church is supernatural, and we need it. So when you pray, if you want to pray into these four areas, in addition to everything else you pray for, that would be really great. Friends, be blessed. Thank you for hanging with us. I know a little longer than normal, and if you're wondering, is this the new normal? No. Okay, let me help you out. But we really wanted to take the time to really do it up so we could really sing hallelujah, praise the Lord, and praise the Lord for what he's doing. And it's the first time out for this kind of a service, but we thought it was worth the time to put in. In any event, be blessed a little bit later. So I know people will mill around, some people will head out. But for those who are members here at Journey or our language is partners, if you're a partner who's been through our partnership process, you're a partner in good standing, hang out and we're going to have a vote on leadership. And that'll be the only item for the after party. But then afterwards, there'll be some food. So if you hang around for the after party and you know, you part of our voting process, hey, we got goodies for you. But let's go ahead and get blessed. In the name of Jesus Christ, blessing for all of you. By the blood of the Lamb, by the power of his resurrection, blessing from you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. May you be blessed in every good thing that the Lord has for you. Be blessed. Amen, amen. Praise God.